Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. On the program today, Ray Hager and I speak with Assemblyman Randy Koerner. He sits on Ways and Means, chairs Commerce on Labor, and is on taxation. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, John Galtney, John Sandy, and Trevor Hayes. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Assemblyman Randy Koerner.
Thank you. Randy, you're at the heart of collective bargaining during this legislative session with your bill AB 182. Now, it would enact some sweeping changes to collective bargaining, including broadening the city's ability to lay off workers. There was a big story in the RGJ about it just this weekend, and I was wondering if you could explain AB 182.
Well, it's a pretty all-encompassing bill.
Right.
So there's many facets to that bill. The objective of the bill is to achieve a balance between the fact that we are a right-to-work state and the opportunity for folks to collectively bargain. It's not intended to take away any particular collective bargaining opportunities. They can still negotiate for all the items that were there before are still there. So it's not an attack on wages. It's not an attack on Nevada employees. It is, in fact, just trying to achieve a balance.
Okay, you talk about an attack on Nevada employees. Part of the bill would bar labor reps from taking time off to participate in negotiations or conduct other union business, and it seems kind of combative in a way. What do you say about that? Is there a compromise that could be reached on that point?
Well, you know, the legislative process is always a process of compromise. And so I'm sure that there'll be some discussions. In fact, I've already had an initial discussion with some of the police and firefighters unions. So we're working and talking about some things. But with regards to that particular component,
right.
The fact of the matter is when you look at an organization such as the City of Reno, and then you look at another organization such as the firefighters, both of them have their own objectives. And so in a sense, and I don't mean this in a negative, but they're kind of an adversarial group.
Right, okay, I get that.
And so my view on that is if a taxpayer is paying, then that the firefighter should be fighting fires, the policeman should be policing, teachers should be teaching. The city ought not to be paying for firefighters to do union business. And in some cases, the entire salary is paid, but they do union business the entire time.
How did this happen?
Well, it's a process of negotiations, and, you know, I haven't been around forever, but I suppose it's the camel's nose in the tent and then the head and then the body and so forth and so on. When you say, how does this happen, that I'm not trying to say it's wrong. It's just not the way I believe it should be, and so that's what I'm bringing forward.
Yeah, but Randy, you were also in this is in this bill is that prohibit the city from deducting union dues from paychecks. Plus, the city of Reno isn't on board with this.
Well, I didn't know that, by the way, until yesterday's newspaper when I read it. The city of Reno is predominantly a Democrat organization, and I have to tell you, a lot of my colleagues are not on board with this either. So, you know, like I say, there's discussions going on in terms of whether we want to do that. But again, imagine that they can take the union dues can be deducted from somebody's personal banking account,
but not from the. You don't want it. Why do you want it? Not being able to be deducted out of the paycheck. I don't understand that.
Well, again, I think that's separating that role. In other words, you have the city's role, and in case of Reno, the city's role or the county's role, and then you have the union's role. And I see them as being adversarial relationships, and not in a negative sort of way. I want to be sure that I stress that. It's just that there are two different organizations with two different objectives. The city, for example, would not deduct my contribution to my church. They might deduct United Way, and they might deduct some other things, but they don't deduct that. They don't deduct my pay to the Nevada Energy, NV Energy. So it's just a matter of separations. That's all it is.
But
I'm not trying to make a big to-do out of that.
Well, would it hurt union finances if these dues are not deducted from the paycheck? Because then it gets harder to collect them, it seems.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you create an automatic deduction from one's personal checking account, it would seem to me to accomplish the same thing.
Okay.
This is almost, it feels like NPRI trying to get a hold of all the teachers in the Clark County School District to let them know that there's a period of time where they can opt out of being union members.
Well, according to the right to work, you know, the definition of that says you can opt in or opt out at any time. So the idea that you can opt out in a two-week or a period of time, whatever, is a negotiated item. But that's in conflict with the right to work clause.
All right. Let's
get back to this thing where the city of Reno does not support this bill, because I would assume a lot of people are going to come down to Carson City on Wednesday when this bill is heard. And are you concerned that Reno isn't the only municipality that won't join in with you on AB 182?
Well, as I said, there are lots of pieces of this thing, and so you picked out one little tiny piece. But I think there are other pieces, and I've had this conversation with Sparks, I've had this conversation with the county, and they're in favor of much of what we're doing here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, on this particular thing or in the bill in general?
The bill in general.
Okay, and what would you say are the two or three biggest pieces of the bill?
Well, I think right now the biggest pieces of it is the Evergreen Clause, the fact-finding.
What is the Evergreen Clause?
Oh, okay. Evergreen Clause says that the contract expires the end of June, let's say, and we're marching towards the end of June, we're bargaining, and we get to June and there's no new contract. But the Evergreen Clause would say, well, the existing terms of the contract roll over automatically. So, for example, if the existing term says on July 1st we get a salary increase, then with no contract, the Evergreen Clause would say, well, we have to give everybody a salary increase. That's been problematic as the economy downturned because the cities, counties, municipalities, and so forth were trying to negotiate if you will, a clawback or a hold stable or no salary increase. That's the evergreen clause that it would happen. By banning that or prohibiting that, what you're saying is that until a new contract is put into place, everybody's salary is frozen, including management, by the way. Everybody's salary is wage, not for benefits, but for wages. It's frozen.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Assemblyman Randy Kerner right after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roofs.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane. Let's get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblyman Randy Kerner, who sits on taxation. So my first question to you is, do you support the governor's business fee at this point in time?
You know, that's problematic, I think. I'm not sure that there are many of us in the Assembly that are wholeheartedly in support of that. It was good to hear the governor's presentation the other day. As you know, we sat there for 9.5 hours listening to those that supported it and those that opposed it. The Assembly is coming out with our own version, which will probably be more like a hybrid plan today, as a matter of fact.
What can you share with us? Because this will start airing at midday, so there's plenty of time for it to be revealed.
Well, I would prefer that Chairman Armstrong brings it out.
Okay, but is it, you know, based on gross receipts?
Well, I think there's a piece of it that a business license fee, and then there's a piece of it that's the modified business tax. And, so it's more of a hybrid type of an approach, I think.
Okay, so are you looking at an increase in the modified business tax?
Well, right now, very few people actually pay the modified
business. So a broadening of it.
Yes, it's a broadening of it.
Okay, and then, but you're still looking at a business tax fee? So, I mean, would we be seeing...
A moderate fee increase, yes.
Okay, would we see the minimum go from $200 to $400 a year?
It might change.
Okay,
again, I don't want to usurp Chairman Armstrong.
Okay, but using our crystal ball here, would it have a gross receipts element to it? In terms of the fee?
Well, in terms of determining the fee, that, you know, much like the governor's, you know, it's really a measurement that he uses to determine what the fee might be. So there'd probably be something along that line, yes.
Did you support the teacher's tax?
The which tax?
The teacher's initiative petition that was defeated?
I did not.
Okay.
Question three.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of us are having a hard time understanding. We know it's different, but in a lot of ways it isn't so different. And a lot of business people out there are saying, you know, we just spent a lot of money to defeat this because it was a gross receipts tax and it was painted as evil and the governor led the charge. And now, it looks like we're back in the same position.
Well, I mean, let's go back to the root need. I mean, is there anybody that disagrees that our education system is
absolutely not? We're not talking about that.
Okay.
You know, nobody's arguing about the need. Everybody's arguing about the method of how we get there.
Right. And even with question three, nobody argued the need, but it was just a question of how you're going to finance it. And so what the governor has suggested is one method for financing. And I have to give him credit because he didn't give us give the legislature a yes-no decision. He gave us either mine, or which is Plan A, or yours, which is my Plan B. So I envision there'll be some level of tax increase.
And in the assembly plan, do you think that there will be a gross receipts tax on businesses that are failing?
I don't know yet.
You know, Randy, it's kind of like pulling teeth right here trying to get
sorry about that, but it's not my job, it's his job to bring that out, and he's the one that's worked closely with leadership, and so I feel it's their responsibility.
Okay, let's
and Paul will be here tomorrow, I understand, so you can ask the majority leader.
Let's move on to one last thing, AB 190, which is probably your most controversial bill, and this would revamp the public employees retirement system to mirror that of what private business has now for its employees, and that's like a Social Security plus 401k plan. And I know you've taken a lot of heat about this, and there's a big misunderstanding that this does not begin until it's only for new employees hired after July 1 in 2016.
That's correct.
Okay, but if you could talk about your PERS plan, because this is like the Lollapalooza of controversy.
And we have about 30 seconds, so I apologize. But
well, it's a hybrid plan, and you're correct. It doesn't affect anybody but new employees. And so we've gone through actuarial analysis of it, and we believe that this plan moves the state in the right direction, caps the unfunded liability, and that's our objective.
All right, and that's where we got to leave it. Randy Curna, thank you so much for being here.
It's
we appreciate
pleasure.
It. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2015 Nevada Legislature is sponsored by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Retail Association of Nevada, and the Nevada State Medical Association.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Take control of your kidney health by attending a free 90-minute Kidney Smart class led by expert educators in your community. For a class near you, go to kidneysmart.org.
Wow, look at that. New inventory does arrive every day. Where do they get it?
It comes from all over the northern Nevada area and Lake Tahoe.
Well, I have some furniture I'd like to sell.
It's easy. Mm-hmm. Give them a call. They'll pick it up in one of their trucks, do the heavy lifting, and even help price it for you.
That is easy.
So if you have furniture and household items you'd like to sell, call Consign Furniture at 824-0222. Consign Furniture, easy way to sell, smart way to buy.
One family, one owner, serving Northern Nevada since 1964. As your couture, dry cleaner, and alteration specialist, and the only cleaner of fine French linen. From Deluxe Laundry, our signature brand, to our expert drapery, blind, and window treatment cleaning service. From handbag cleaning in a clutch to a nationalized partner in textile restoration, Bobby Pages, 50 years of innovation. We're not just a dry cleaner. We're your neighborhood textile group. Visit us at bobbypages.com.
Here's a new case. You want this?
No.
Nah, let's give it to the new guy.
Do you really think your case is going to be handled properly by a Las Vegas attorney? When you call Angela Bolentini, you get Angela Bolentini. Take the first step and call me today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
I am back on Nevada Newsmakers. We have a great PowerPundit panel. As always, Trevor Hayes is here, the attorney with Hayes Law. John Sandy is a lobbyist with Argentum Partners. And John Galtney is president emeritus of Truckee Meadows Community College. So as you were listening to Randy Curna, your thoughts?
Well, I mean,
these are bills that Republicans have talked about or policies they've talked about for years, so I don't think it's any surprise to see them come up. And some of them are issues I think we really need to debate, whether it's how to fund education. I mean, as you mentioned, I don't think anybody in the state or most people in the state believe we need to put more money and resources into education. It's just a matter of how to get there. And me, as a resident and a graduate of university here in the state, I'm in favor of finding more money to help, particularly the K-12 and higher ed levels.
John?
I suppose if I said the first impression is that the topics that we are discussing this session as opposed to other sessions, it seems that, you know, these have always bills that have always been out there, but maybe not gotten hearings. And this is one of the first sessions where we actually are talking about a number of things that maybe would have been pushed aside in other sessions.
And it's almost a declaration of war.
In some respects, it is. I mean, they definitely weren't. They didn't come into the session quietly. I mean, with the construction defect and a lot of the reforms that the Republicans have been pushing, they kind of called their shot, and we'll see how it plays out for them in the end, and if they're able to finish strong, or if it's going to fizzle out. And dissension amongst the caucuses and amongst the Senate and the Assembly. There's a lot of things that could happen.
John?
Well, I think we all agree that more money into education is quite valuable, but I'd like to address the pension question for a second. I'm a product of Illinois, which is on the verge of bankruptcy because it has not figured out how to address that subject. I also get a small pension from Illinois, which I'd like to have protected. It may not appear to be the case, but public employees are probably better off in a rational program rather than one that they can dictate to, because the program itself becomes more vulnerable the further and further you get into deficit spending.
Well, I think the main point of Randy Koerner's AB 190, which revamps PERS, is that Governor Kenny Gwynn back in 2005 tried a similar approach, and back then the deficit for PERS was $3 billion. Now it's inching up toward $12 billion. Mm-hmm. So really something needs to be done on this. And another thing about, Trevor, you said, like everyone, they all want to get more money for education. Sure. But they always have a problem with the method. And this time it's Governor Sandoval's method. And if it had anything else, it would have been Kenny Gwynn's gross receipts tax method. I think that's just a red herring when people, they always complain about the method, but they always say education needs more funding in it. And it never gets done because no matter what method you bring up, people don't like it.
Well, you did bring up 2003, and I think that was a similar session. You hear a lot of people arguing about that, but there was a tax that was created. It just wasn't the tax the governor wanted. We created the modified business tax in 2003 and actually ended up giving a good chunk of that back a few years later.
Which was a mistake, and the modified business tax, now people want to do away with it because so few people pay it. Although I think this Republican plan that's coming out today that Randy was kind of mum about, I think that has a component in there with the modified business tax.
To your point, Ray, I think you're right. I mean, we've been talking about this, I mean, at least since 2003, and all this time with the LVGEA, the Las Vegas Global Economic Alliance, just released some numbers a couple of weeks ago that the number one reason companies they're recruiting decide not to come to Nevada is that we don't have a skilled workforce.
Yeah, that's but true. On the other side of that, you know, you've got Tesla, you've got Switch expanding, you know, you've had Walmart distribution centers coming. I mean, lots of big companies are coming to Nevada despite the education standards.
Some, yes, but is it enough? I mean, we've got almost 3 million people in this state. We've been selling ourselves for years as we're cheap, come here. And time and again, companies have chosen to go elsewhere. You cite some examples that we've done well in, but there's countless others that we've lost out in.
John?
Well, I'd have to jump into this because the current formula that the higher ed system is using will strangle the community college's ability to do what we're talking about here. It created a talented, trained workforce. And so I think we're probably a step below the kinds of programs that are going to Utah, for example, which are a little bit technically sophisticated over what we're getting. And I think that has to do with also wages that are going to come in the state. But last point, we have a very heavy regressive tax structure here. We tax the poor more than the well-to-do. As a Republican, maybe I should applaud that, but I don't. I think that's terrible. I think it's one of the reasons we have that argument that Ray's talking about, because there's a violent response to that every time we talk about more money.
Well, you know, they say you tax the poor. I agree. You tax the poor because they don't have any lobbyists at the
you're
legislature.
Absolutely right.
And so, anyway, John, you were about to say something.
Well, no, I was going to say, another, though, to take it back to 2003, something that's interesting is that you actually, as Randy mentioned earlier, you have the Republican Assembly Caucus coming out with their own tax plan. That gives me some optimism that there's people really thinking about tax and actually gonna, something that's going to get done. Now,
right.
Whether it's going to be the governor's plan or some hybrid of that, I think it remains to be seen, but... when you have the people that have usually been the most vehemently against the taxes actually coming up with a proposal, it's some progress.
But you have to wait and see if all the members of the Assembly GOP caucus are behind this plan, because I could see the real conservative members of the caucus, like Jill Dickman and Michelle Fiore, staying on their no new taxes stance and not budging. And the governor's going to need four of those people to cross over on the other side to get this bill passed because of the Gibbons law.
And here's where we say, more to come. We'll be right back.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
Let us help you get back on track and fight for the compensation you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
It's our annual floor model sale at Home Solutions at Ace. With savings up to 40% because all these items have to go, like these rocker recliners from Southern Motion. You'll save a ton on these power recliner sofa sets. Look at these sectionals from Best Home Furnishings. Wow, even sofas and chairs are on sale. And be sure to check out our new custom bedroom sets, all American made. You will not find this quality at these prices anywhere else. Only at Home Solutions at Ace, the hardware store with an entire furniture center, and just a short drive up to Sparks.
The University of Nevada School of Medicine has been making Nevada healthier for more than 45 years. Our groundbreaking research is making an impact locally, nationally, and worldwide. And we're making a difference with doctors providing medical care near you. As Nevada's statewide public medical school, we offer an educational value amongst the highest in the country. We are partnering with leading Nevada hospitals and healthcare institutions to combine teaching and learning with outstanding clinical care. Join us in improving Nevada's health. And yours.
I first came to Greenhouse Garden Center 40 years ago. Some of these trees weren't much more than twigs then. Growing things is something that never grows old. And you can tell at a glance that these are people who love to grow, who are still enchanted by rich soil and the magic of gardening. This may be one of the most wondrous places around, and they grow many things. But mostly, I think they grow relationships.
Greenhouse Garden Center and Gift Shop in Carson City. Growing things is in our nature.
There is a lot at stake when you've been seriously injured.
But what happens next is critical. That's why you need expert legal representation.
We've worked for the insurance companies, and we will fight for every dollar you deserve.
Galloway and Jensen, we fight for you.
On our next broadcast from Carson City, the Assembly Majority Floor Leader, Paul Anderson. We'll see you on the next broadcast.